This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Today on AFSEA Answers, is the sun shining on cloud computing in the federal space? The conversation starts right now. I'm Max Kakis with AFSEA International. Welcome to AFSEA Answers. Joining us in the studio today, Dave McClure, Associate Administrator with the General Services Administration here in Washington, D.C. Also, Edwin Elmore, Cloud Computing Business Development Manager, and Mark Lambden, Business Development Manager, Cisco Public Sector with Cisco here in Washington, D.C. Welcome all. Now, this is, I should make note of the fact that this is part two of our two-part look at cloud computing in the federal government. Last show, we talked to Terry Halverson, the CIO of the Navy Department. Dave, it's great to see you again and talk to you again. We've talked before on programs just like this, and it's really nice to have you back with us again.
Thanks very much.
We've been talking about cloud computing for some time now. In terms of cloud as a product or a concept, is the cloud mature, or are there some opportunities and some work that still needs to be done?
Well, Max, I think it's maturing is probably the best way to characterize it. And when we think we know everything about cloud computing, nuances pop up that remind us that it is a little bit different computing paradigm than what we've dealt with in the past. Mm-hmm. We still have working our way through security issues in the cloud, dealing with access, location, boundaries, recovery, things like that. But we've made great progress in understanding those. Our understanding of storage and computation in the cloud is advanced beyond virtualization to how do we really store this more efficiently? Because a lot of data the government is not on demand. It's archived and brought mm-hmm. up as needed.
Right.
And I think the other thing that we're finding is that data is moving everywhere. And the cloud is set up to help with the movement of data in a very agile way. The question is, how do we port security and reliability and interoperability with that data as it moves all around different environments?
Mm-hmm. And that's a challenge all across the federal government, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Wow. Now, Ed and Mark, cloud computing, mature or not?
Max, very good being with you this afternoon. We agree with David's comment that the cloud computing industry and the market is evolving and changing and definitely maturing.
Mm-hmm.
Cloud computing has come a long way since Mr. Kundra came up with the cloud first policy. I think GSA is is at the head of the spear of the cloud computing initiatives inside of federal with the some of the activities that they're doing around FedRAMP and some of the contracts that they have.
Mm-hmm.
There is a great deal of work that needs to continue to be done around technologies, for example, and go to market. So Cisco has traditionally been seen as a networking company. We are much more than a networking company. We also sell data center infrastructure to include servers. We are a networking company, but we also provide security products. We're more than anything a cloud enabler, right, to help companies provide cloud services.
Mm-hmm.
But we also provide some cloud services, not so much in the federal government, but in the commercial area. In the federal space, we do see a great deal of momentum in terms of private, public, and hybrid clouds, right? But there's still a lot to be learned in terms of technologies and standards, right? So if you ask folks, you know, do they want to move to cloud? The answer is probably yes. But the question is, how do they move to the cloud? How do they stay in the cloud? How do they move off the cloud? How do they avoid vendor lock-in? How do they deal with acquisition challenge, et cetera? So there's a lot of maturity taking place in the market right now, and it's still evolving.
Sure. Now, Dave, GSA, one of the leaders in the federal government when it comes to cloud. What can you tell us briefly about the scope of the cloud services that that GSA offers to other agencies? And also, what can you tell us about how much of GSA's internal IT is up in the cloud?
Sure. Well, I think the easiest thing, the way to think of GSA in the cloud space, and again, it's a unique government-wide provider, is in three areas. One is in the acquisition area, so we have contracts set up to facilitate agencies acquiring cloud services either through the existing schedules or through the some special BPAs that we've set up for email or infrastructure cloud services. So GSA always plays that role of being a broker across demand across that's servicing demand across multiple agencies. The second area that we actually serve as a government-wide provider in is in the security area through the FedRAMP program. So all cloud services will go through a FedRAMP certification beginning all must by June of next year. So we've set the bar and we've created a process and we've created some efficiencies in how we actually look at security for the cloud across the federal government. And then the third area is best practices. So we're a repository of knowledge, information, case studies, what's working, what are challenges, and we share that across the government as well. In our own space, you know, we were one of the early cloud adopters in the federal government. I put a lot of our public websites that we service, like USAGov, in the cloud in 2009. GSA has gone to Google email very early, and we use tools like Salesforce, which is a cloud-based service for a lot of our collaboration needs around GSA. So walk the talk. You know, I think you got to be both a provider as well as a consumer.
That's right. Mark and Ed, in the minute that we have before we go to our break, you talked about Cisco being an enabler of cloud computing. How does your company use the cloud in terms of what you guys do, and how does that inform what you, what kinds of services and advice you provide to your clients?
We moved to a private cloud environment a couple of years ago. We have the ability for any employee to check out one or two servers through through a cloud portal. We also have virtual data center, which is part of the private cloud. But we also work very closely with public cloud providers. So we leverage for some of the short-term requirements that we have, services from Amazon, for example, and we definitely use Salesforce. So we have about 200 companies that are B2B companies that we get services or provide services through clouds.
We'll pick up on our conversation in just a few moments. Still to come, is there a right cloud and a wrong cloud? You're listening to FCA Answers on Federal News Radio.
Cisco is a worldwide leader in innovative technology that is transforming how government organizations better protect, serve, and educate their constituencies. Today, agencies are working to modernize federal IT infrastructures to help streamline processes, better connect government employees, provide superior service to citizens, and protect our country. Through a proven secure cross-architecture approach, Cisco is enabling government leaders to rethink how they deliver and safeguard critical services and assets during unprecedented budgetary challenges while increasing workforce productivity, enhancing operational efficiencies, and driving down costs. Cisco's proven products and services accelerate technology performance and business decisions and deliver a high-quality, secure, assured experience. For more information, visit Cisco at cisco.com/go/federal. That's cisco.com/go/federal.
AFCEA is your source for cybersecurity. The upcoming TechNet Augusta event, September 10th through 12th, will focus on Army Ground Forces modernizing for Network 2020. The Biometric Consortium Conference and Exposition, September 17th through 19th, addresses the important role that biometrics plays in identification and verification of individuals for government and commercial applications worldwide. Signal Magazine's August issue examines C4ISR with articles on mobile networking technology and battle command systems. AFCEA also offers cybersecurity professional development courses, including social media management and cybersecurity intelligence. Members enjoy significant discounts and benefits with AFCEA's education-preferred providers, including Carnegie Mellon Software Engineering Institute's Step Forward training. Learn more about these opportunities at afcea.org, keyword cyber. That's afcea.org, keyword cyber.
And we're back on AFCEA Answers here on Federal News Radio. Our guests today, Dave McClure with the General Services Administration, Mark Lambden, and Ed Almore from Cisco. Now, one of the areas in which there's a lot of concern about cloud computing is security, Dave, especially obvious lately because of the whole situation with the NSA leaker, with all that information. What kinds of considerations do you think about when it comes to keeping data in the cloud secure?
Sure. I think there's a whole set of security issues that we've certainly learned in doing FedRAMP for the last year and a half, 2 years, largely around two issues. One is boundaries. Where does a cloud service provider's authorization and control begin and end? So the infrastructure provider may have a set of controls and security responsibilities, but there's a whole lot of applications that sit on top of that infrastructure. Who owns the apps? Mm-hmm. Who's responsible for the application security space? So some of that's been challenging in the cloud area. The other area, I think, is contracts. We see some confusion between security controls and contractual terms that deal with access issues, location issues, usage, some of which really are contract more than straight security concerns. And so getting all of that right, the boundaries, the authentication piece, the contract piece, there's definitely a lot to pay attention to in the cloud space.
Mm-hmm. Ed, what about security in the cloud? I know that as a rule, Cisco is not necessarily a cloud computing company, but you mentioned that before that your organization enables, makes possible what the cloud does. What kinds of considerations do your folks talk about when it comes to security?
Just to say something real quick. So Cisco traditionally has been a networking company, but we are absolutely in the heart and souls of cloud computing today with our data center offerings. Like I said, we do sell servers to the marketplace. From a security perspective, our challenge right now is taking the physical world and moving it to the virtualized world, right? So when you look at cloud computing, it's a heavily virtualized environment. So the same controls that you have around a physical perimeter in your physical data center, now you have to extend into the virtualized world. So your traffic that's typically going north and south between your servers and your firewalls and your IDSs, et cetera, can go east and west between VM and VM. Right. But for that, we have to take that software and virtualize it. And we're doing that. We're spending a lot of time virtualizing and offering our products in a virtualized world. Now, to move beyond the physical to virtual, to some of the other challenges around cloud computing, it's how, to David's comment, how do you secure the applications? How do you make sure that if you're in a multi-tenant environment, somebody doesn't come in and inject bad code into an application, that application is running on your VM, and you have no idea it's running, right? And your application has changed. So there's a great bit of effort and emphasis in securing the multi-tenant environment and securing the applications themselves. The third aspect is, how do you take all the policy that exists today on your private network, something that your enterprise IT security folks have spent a lot of time developing, and when moving to a public cloud, how do you take that same policy and extend it into the public cloud rather than having to deal with a totally different security policy? We're doing things around that as well to solve that problem.
Good. Okay. Now, Dave, there are some people who say that the cloud isn't the right solution for all sorts of IT challenges. In your opinion, what constitutes a right use of the cloud and a wrong use of the cloud?
Well, I think it's not unlike, quite honestly, any decision that you make about the use of technology. Not all technology is created for universal business application. So the cloud is the same way. If you're in a business area or a government mission area where there is intense high levels of security and trust, if you're in a, then the cloud may or may not be right for you. It may be that the control is so important to you of that information that you do not want to put it into a cloud environment, whether it's private or public. The other thing that I think we're learning is that cloud is naturally a candidate for high volume, high demand, quick speed and computation. Those kinds of areas are where cloud computing can be brought to bear to really deliver low cost and high value. So I think we're just learning, I think, as we go through this, what are the natural candidate areas for different kinds of cloud environments that make sense for efficiency and for effectiveness.
Mm-hmm. Ed, in the 1 minute we have left, what have you been hearing, or what do you know from your experience working with clients in terms of what applications work, what aren't exactly optimal applications for the cloud?
And I don't know if there's just one answer fits all. Mm-hmm. What we're finding is different clients have different reasons for moving to cloud. Mm-hmm. There'll be some clients that will say, we have so much predictable requirements in terms of capacity needs that they can easily justify a private cloud, right, for those needs, where the cost of that private cloud will be less of than a public cloud. There are other clients that say, I have capacity that's going to expand, like elastically expand up and down, mm-hmm. so we need to move those applications to a public cloud. There's not one answer, for all the different scenarios.
Sounds good. Well, still to come, making sense of the fire hose attached to the cloud. You're listening to FCA Answers on Federal News Radio.
Cisco is a worldwide leader in innovative technology that is transforming how government organizations better protect, serve, and educate their constituencies. Today, agencies are working to modernize federal IT infrastructures to help streamline processes, better connect government employees, provide superior service to citizens, and protect our country. Through a proven secure cross-architecture approach, Cisco is enabling government leaders to rethink how they deliver and safeguard critical services and assets during unprecedented budgetary challenges, while increasing workforce productivity, enhancing operational efficiencies, and driving down costs. Cisco's proven products and services accelerate technology performance and business decisions, and deliver a high-quality, secure, assured experience. For more information, visit Cisco at cisco.com/go/federal. That's cisco.com/go/federal.
Welcome back to FCA Answers here on Federal News Radio. Our guest today, Dave McClure with the General Services Administration, and Ed Elmore and Mark Lambden from Cisco. Now, Dave, when it comes to the cloud, how would you describe the GSA's needs for a firm that wants to pitch you or your associate, Casey Coleman, the CIO at GSA? How would you want them to pitch you on the needs of GSA when it comes to cloud computing?
Well, I think we're looking for three primary things. One is, in a cloud service provider, we're looking for agility. We're looking for the ability for solutions to be designed and put in place in quick and very efficient time segments. So that agility is important for us. And as our business needs change, the cloud services can respond accordingly to demand and to use. Second thing we're looking for is performance, because cloud services are all about moving to a service paradigm rather than a commodity paradigm. So we're very much interested in performance metrics, contract metrics that are tied to the performance of the service that they're providing to us, and that we reach agreement on what those service levels are. Mm-hmm. And then the third thing, which may be the most important, is security. We're particularly interested in a firm's ability to do effective continuous monitoring of their operational status in the security area, near real-time monitoring of what's happening in their space, so that when an incident or a vulnerability occurs, we're not learning about it days later, we're learning about it at the same time, and we're making sure that the remediation is taken care of quickly, because we're vulnerable. We're the data owner.
Sure.
in that situation. So those are really three things that are very, very critical for us.
Mm-hmm. Mark, what's been your experience, and maybe the experience of some of your colleagues in industry, in terms of the acquisition process when it comes to the cloud and the federal government?
Well, let me put it in terms of what I hear from the customer when I'm out there in the field. They're looking for a secure portal, number one. They're also in that portal, they're looking for a service catalog that will provide a broad portfolio of both service offerings for both industry and government. As an example, GSA infrastructure as a service could be offered there as well. Once they select their service of choice, be able to have those services provisioned within 24 hours or less, which what Dave referring to is, you know, be able to process their request as soon as they can, and then be billed automatically for the time that they use the service, you know, by the drink. That seems to be pretty pervasive out there when I'm in the field talking to customers. And I also think the cloud broker is probably the preferred way to be able to deliver those type of services and be able to, as technology changes and new companies come to market, be able to onboard those companies easily onto that contract.
So very much the way that GSA and also on the military side, the way that DISA is a cloud broker.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Very good. Now, another issue that is discussed when everybody stands around the table and talks about cloud is data analytics. The cloud makes big data possible. Dave, how are you grappling with that at GSA? Is that something that you feel you've got you're comfortable having a handle on, or is there still some work to do there?
Lots of work to do because it's a new area. We have a situation where we have what I have been referring to as a perfect storm, and it involves the intersection of data and cloud, both of which are, I think, at the right point to leverage each other. We have a new management paradigm that's happening in government that's less focused on static reporting and more focused on performance and results and effective on-the-scene problem solving. Combined with that, the creation of data, the creation of information is exploding, both in our structured data sets as well as our unstructured data sets, which are in the collaboration space. Then you throw in a little bit of these new, incredibly advanced analytic apps that are now in place, in-memory analytics apps particularly. You marry all of that with cloud computing with the ability to store and process in a fraction of the time that we used to be able to do these things and a fraction of the cost. And I think it's a perfect storm where a lot of unique needs that we've had to address individually in the past can now be addressed with an integrated solution.
Got it. Ed, in the last minute or so that we have, talk to me about data analytics or big data, I think is the preferred term that a lot of people use.
Let me just say real quick, Max, that 99% of the physical world is still not connected. We're thinking that there are going to be about 4.5 billion additional people added to the internet in the next 8 years. 37 billion things, devices are going to be added to the internet. The amount of data that the people on these devices are going to generate is huge. The ability to be able to process and analyze that information is huge. Now, cloud computing provides you an ability to very quickly scale up and scale down computing resources, but big data is somewhat different than cloud, right? Because the requirements in terms of processing, the cost of the storage for big data needs to be cheaper than traditional cloud providers. So you need to have, so you can have an environment where you can have the fast provision that cloud gives you and have infrastructure that's dedicated to big data being provided by that same cloud provider. But traditionally, data center infrastructure that's used for cloud computing, enterprise type missions, would not be used for big data applications. There are two different types of infrastructure.
Got it. Well, on that note, I want to thank our guests, Dave McClure with the GSA and Mark Lambden and Ed Elmore from Cisco. Thank you, gentlemen, for joining us today. Our special thanks to the AFCEA Cyber Committee for production help with today's show. Got a question about what we've discussed today? Got an answer. The conversation continues on our blog at federalnewsradio.com. Search AFCEA. That's AFCEA. That's also where you can download this program and our previous shows for listening on your schedule. This program is a production of AFCEA International, which is solely responsible for its content. On the web at afcea.org. I'm Max Kakis. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time for AFCEA Answers on Federal News Radio.